Today's shir is Masechet Chagig on Dav Dalid. We will begin on Dav Gimel Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the words Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, Ezeu Shoyte, who is considered an imbecile, a shota? We had in the Mishnah that a cheir shota v'katan are potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. And Rashi tells us here that the Gemara's question is not only pertaining to our Mishnah, but rather wherever a shota is mentioned in Shas, that he is potter from the performance of mitzvahs, and also potter from onesh, from punishments, and he cannot make any acquisitions, his kinyan is no kinyan, and when he sells something, his selling of that item does not take effect because he is a shota. So what is the definition of a person who is a shota? And the Gemara answers, Hayotze Yichidi Balailo. If he does one of the following three things, Hayotze Yichidi Balailo, he goes out by himself at night to an uninhabited place. V'halom b'beis hakvoros, Rashi says, Balailo. He stays overnight in a cemetery. V'hamakareya esksusay, and someone who tears his garment. Itmar, we have learned. Rav Huna Amar, there's machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan concerning these three items. Rav Huna is of the opinion, ad shiyuhu kulam bevas achas, that we must see that he's doing all of these three things at one time. Doesn't mean at the same second, but in a small period of time, we see him doing all of these three things together. Then and only then, according to Rav Huna, is he classified as a shota. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he holds a filah ba'achas man. Even if he does one of these things, he'll have to do it three times, as the Marsha explains Tosfos, the second bottom Tosfos Derech Shtus, but he doesn't have to do all three things together. The Gemara questions, Heichidami, what is the case? Ido avid luhu Derech Shtus, if he did it in an insane manner, then a filibachad anami. Then even everyone should agree, even Rav Huna should agree that you do not require all three, but rather if he does one of these three things three times, that would classify him as a shota. Idoloi ovid luderchus, if he did not do it in an insane manner, a filikul anami loi. Then even if he did all three things together, he should not be considered a shota. The Gemara answers, Lo'olam dekavid lehu derashtus. Really, he did it in an insane manner. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if he did it in an insane manner, it's sufficient that he does one of these things three times, and that will classify him as a shota. However, on this, Rav Huna disagrees, because Rav Huna says that if he does only one of these things three times, he's not classified as a shota, because I could have a legitimate answer for each of these three things that would not classify him as a shota. For example, v'alom b'beisek for someone who stays overnight in a cemetery, Amer, I could justify it by saying, k'dei shetishra olav ruach tumahu dekavet. He didn't do it out of insanity. He did it with full das, as the bottom Rashi on the Amud tells us. He wants that there should be a ruach tumah, ruach shedim, sheyisayu liyos mechashiv. He wants to be a magician, and he thinks by staying in a cemetery overnight, he'll get the spirit of the shedim to help him in his black magic endeavors. So he's not insane. He's doing it with full das to acquire the ruchas hatumah that are found in a cemetery. V'hayotzi yichid b'layla, somebody who goes out by himself at night, Amer, I can justify that by saying Gandrifus Achdei. Rashi gives two pshatim. The first pshat Rashi says is that this comes a sickness, a melancholy that comes mitach daiga from worry, and that caused him to go outside and take this walk by himself. Or Rashi says Vali Nira Shenischamim Gufoy, that he got a fever and he's going out to get fresh air. But he's not doing it because he's insane. V'makareyesksus, I continues the Gemara, someone who tears his garment, Amer b'amachshavasu, I would say he's lost in thought, And he's not doing it out of insanity, but rather he's doing it deeply engrossed in thought, and he's not concentrating on what he's doing. He doesn't even realize that he's tearing his begadim while he's lost in thought. So if he does, according to Rav Huna, each one of these three things, even if he'll do each one three times by itself, that we would have a reason for it, and therefore he would not be considered a shaita. But kiven davdinu lekulu. But Rav Huna says that once he does all three things, and even if he does all three things only once, havelahu. And now we turn to davdalud amid aleph. Kimi shenagach shor chamor vegomel venasemu lekol. And Rav Huna compares this to a din that we find in Masechet Bava Kama, daf lamed zayin. If you have a shor, we know that a shor gores three times. The fourth time is considered a mu'ud, but the first three times is considered a tam. A tam only pays chatzin nezek, half of the damage. A mu'ud pays nezek shom, the full damage. Now, if a shor were to gore another shor three times, and on the fourth time he would gore a chamor, a donkey, he would not be considered a mu'ud for a donkey. For the donkey, he's considered a tum that he only gored one time. If a shor is negeach another shor three times, then he's only a mu'ud if the fourth time he gored another shor. However, our Gemara is telling us what it says in Bava Kama, that if a shor was negeach a shor and a chamor and a gomel, so then I don't require him to become a mu'ud for these animals by doing each animal three times. But rather, even if he only gored each animal one time, now I interpret that what this shor is he is a wild animal. And therefore, whatever animal he will gore on the fourth time, he's already considered a mu'ud. Because I see that he doesn't differentiate. He doesn't have something specifically against another ox or another or a donkey or a camel, but rather he is a goring animal, and any other animal that he will see, he will gore, and therefore it becomes a mu'ud to any animal on the fourth time, and he pays nezek shalom. So this is how Rashi explains the Gemara here. And this fits in with something I heard in the name of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal. Reb Chaim asks, why does it help that he, in our Gemara, that the Shoita did each of these three things one time, and that qualifies him as a Shota? Why don't we say that on each of the things that he did, we have an answer? If he'll be yichidi, if he'll learn basic for us, will be a ruach tuma, and then he is yaitz yichidi balayla, will give the excuse that it's kandrifus, and if it's makaris kasusai, it will say that he's a bal machshavei. So, why, if he does all three together, that makes him into a shaita on each of the three things that he did? We have an answer for it, says Reb Chaim. Why should I give three reasons to what a person does when I can give one reason? I have one simple reason. The person's a shaita, and that will explain everything. That is, this sharp thought from Reb Chaim Brisker is really what Rashi is saying here with by Shor and Chamor and Gomel. That I don't look at it specifically that he has something against a shor or against a chamor or against a gomel. I see that he has something against all animals, and therefore I give one explanation to his actions. He is a goring animal, and he will gore every animal, and therefore he's considered a mu'ud, whatever animal he's going to gore. The same thing with the person here, that I don't give three different terutzim for his actions. I give one terutz that and that is that he is a shoita, and memela, then Rav Huna also agrees that this will constitute him being a shoita. Amar Papa Ishamila Rav Huna Hadasanya. If Rav Huna had heard that which we learned in the Brice, Ezu shoita, who is considered a shoita? Ze hama'ave ma'abed kol mashanayson, like someone who throws away and loses everything that you give him, and that itself, if he does it three times, constitutes a shota, have a hadar bay. then he would have had charata from his psak. Rav Huna said that you have to do all of the three things at least one time, but you have to do all of them. And if you do one of the three things alone three times, he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and he holds that the person would not be considered a shota. But if he would have heard this brisa, as Rashi explains here, he would have seen from the brisa that it's not necessary to do all of these three things. But rather, if you do one thing, ma'abed kol mashmoy shloi, three times, that's sufficient. So he would have had charata. And now the Bnei Yeshiva, he boiled, they had a question. From what would he have had charata? Ki avahadur bey, when Rav Huna would have had charata, what did Rav Papa mean? Would he have had charata only from one of those three things? Mi mikra ksusa hud avahadur bey, the dam yilaha. Tearing a garment is similar to losing whatever one gives. In other words, he's not responsible for his fiscal matters. So, do I say that Rav Huna would have had karata ein echanami lon be besakvaris or yaitzit kita belayla? It's not sufficient if he does one of those things three times. There, he'll have to do all of the three things that Rav Huna would not have karata from. But the one of the three things that he would have charata from would be Mekareis Ksusa, because that's similar to Ma'abed Komash and Isamalai. And I see over there that it's not required to do anything more than just the one thing of Ma'abed Komash and Isamalai three times, that's enough. Who would then Mekareis Ksusa? But the other two items, there, it's not sufficient if you do it three times. Oidilma Mikula Havahadr, or maybe. By knowing the brice of Ma'abed Kol Mashmoy Shloi, as Tosfos explains here in the top Tosfos, once I see that one of the three things, if it's done three times, makes him a shaita, so hu adin, he would have had charata from the other two things as well. If a person is lomba beis hakvaros three times, or if he's yaitzi yechida balayla three times alone, that would be sufficient. That's the raya from Ma'abed Kol Mashmoy Shloi, that if you do that three times, it's enough. That's a limud that Rabbi Yochanan's right, that if you do one of those three items three times, that's enough to make you into a shaita. The Gemara says, teiku. We don't know what Rav Huna would have had charata from, according to Rav Papa. Is it only Mekareis Ksusoi, or even the other two as well? There is a machloikis rishonim whether these three or four things that we have in the Gemara are dafke or lav dafke. The Rambam in Perikhes from Hilchas Eidah says that even other things that a person does, if he does them as a shoita, they're simonim that he is a shoita. It's the Gemara here is lav dafke, as the Kesef Mishnah says that the Gemara here is only bringing certain items. These items are examples of things that people do that indicate that they are a shaita. But einachanami, if a person does other strange things, that too would constitute the simonim that he is a shaita. However, the Beis Yosef and Eben Ezra brings down from the Mordechai and Rabbeinu Avigdor that it's the Gemara holds that it's dafke these four items that are simonim that he is a shaita. However, other items would not guarantee that this person has the halachic status of a shaita. Continues the Gemara explaining our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, Tumtum Vandroigenis, that they are potter from the mitzvah of Riya. A Tumtum is someone who is a Sofik Zocher, Sofik Nekeva. The person has a membrane that covers their organ, and we don't know what they are, whether they're male or female. Vandroigenis has simonim. That person has simonim of being a zocher and simonim of being an akeva. And they are potter. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Zocher, it says in the Torah, Shalish Pam Bashan Yeroa, called Zechurcho El Pneo Adon Hashem. So it could have said, Kol Zocher. It didn't have to say Zechurcho. From Zocher alone, I learn out, Loitzis Anoshim, that women are potter from the mitzvah of Ria. Zichur Cha, the Torah added a Chaf, Lahaitzi Tumtum Andragis. That is the source from where I know that a Tumtum Andragis are potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. But the Torah says, Kol Zichur Cha, Kol is a Ribui. The Rabbi says, the Ketanim are Chayiv in the mitzvah of Riyah. And the Gemara on this Amid will later ask that we learn Beferish in our Mishnah, a Cherish Shaita V'Katan are potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. Amar Mar, we learned before, Zachur Lahaitzis Anashim, that women are potter, Frey the Gemara, Lamali Kro, what do you need a Pazik? Michti Mitzvah Seishas Mangramahu, the Mitzvah of Ria is a Mitzvah Seh that comes at a certain time. And we know a rule, as we learned Kedushin, Dav Chavtes, Vechol Mitzvah Seishas Mangramanashim Turis, that all Mitzvahs that come at a certain time, women are potter, for example, the Mitzvah of Shoifer or Sukkah or Tzitzis. They come at a certain time, these mitzvahs, and therefore women are potter. So why do I need a special limit over here by Re'iya of Zohar to be Mamayat Nashim? They're potter anyway because it's a mitzvah say Shazman Grama. You get more answers. Itzrich, I need a special miyut by Re'iya. Salkadatacham, and I would have thought, Nelef Re'iya Re'iya Mihakel. In yesterday's Gemara and Daf Gimel, we learned that there's a Xerushav of Re'iya Re'iya from the mitzvah of Hakel. And over there, the Chiyuv of Hakel is on Noshim Noshim V'taf. So women are Chayv and Hakel. So I would have thought, Malahal Noshim Chayav is just like by Hakel, as Rashi explains, even though Hakel is also a mitzvah, say Shazman Grom, it comes on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkis every 7 years at the end of Shemitah. So it's a mitzvah, say Shazman Grom, that comes at a certain time. And yet, by Hakel, women are chayiv, and there's Xerus of Ria Ria. So I would have thought Afkan here by Ria Nashim Chayav is Nashim are chayiv as well. Kamashim on the air for the pasuk says Zachor to be mamayit that Nashim are potter for the mitzvah of Ria. Amar Mar, we learned before Zechurcha lahaitzi tumtum andraygan is that a tumtum andraygas are potter for mitzvah of Ria. Says the Gemara, Bishlam andraygas itzrich by andraygas I need a special miyat kasal katatachem and I would have thought. Since a androgynous, as we explained before, has simonim that he's a zacher and simonim that person is in a keva, but he's miktsas at least a zacher. He's somewhat of a zacher. I would have thought l'chayiv he should be included in zacher that is chayiv in the mitzvah of riyah. Kamash malan the bear b'fnei atzmayu. So the Torah tells you zacher chad that androgynous. Since he has both tzad zachros and a tzad of being a female, therefore he's considered a special creation, and therefore he's not included in zechur cha, and he's potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. So that, I understand by androgynous, the limit. Ela tumtum, why do we have a limit of zechur cha? Lo haitzi tumtum. Tumtum is a suffiku. He's a suffik zachor, suffik nekeva. Mi itzrikra lamutei sveika, as Rashi explains, lama likra mehecha teslan l'chiyuvei. Why would I have a havamina that a suffix should be chayiv? So what do I need a pasuk to be mamayda suffix? Amar Abaya, kishabetzim uchut. Speaking about a case where his testicles are sticking outside of the membrane that's covering his organ. So we know that he is a zacher, but he's not a normal zacher. Kamash melanda limud of zechur cha to be mamayda, this abnormal zacher. But it's not a case here of suffix zacher, suffix nekeva. We know it's a zacher. But since it's not a normal zacher, he will be nismayit from zechurcha. But that's why I need a limit. The Turi Evan asks here a very strong question that avada there is a havamina. What does the Gemara say? Since it's a suffix, what's the havamina that he should be chayiv? We have a rule, sveika derais lechumra. What does Rashi say? What would be my havamina that a tumtum should be chayv? What do I need a miyat for? He wouldn't be chayv in the first place of the suffix. Why not? Suffix derais l'chumra. So the Meiri, in fact, brings a proof from this sugya to Shitas Rambam that for because of this kash of the Turi Evan, the Rambam holds that suffix derais l'chumra is only l'chumra midrabbanan, but not midraisa. So on a deraisa level, the Gemara is asking an excellent question. Since a tumtum is a suffix, and suffix deraisa l'chumra is only midrabbanan, but midraisa we would say is suffix deraisa is l'kula. So the Gemara asks a very good question. What do you need a pasuk for? Mi yitzchakra mehecha tesi lan l'chiyuvi, says Rashi. Midraisa, there's no reason to obligate him. Why do I need a miyit? So in fact, this Gemara is very difficult on the Shita Sarajba. The Shita Sarajba is a suffix derais l'chumra, midaraisa, oibazoi, the Turi Evans Kasha comes back on the Rajba. What do you mean, mi yitzchakra lamute sveika? Of course you need a pasuk mada sveika, because suffix derais l'chumra, midaraisa. So on a deraisa level, a tumtum should be chayv, and I need a miyat. What's the Gemara's Kasha? On this, the Turi Evan answers with the third Toisvus on our Amadivra Maskal Ella Tumtum, where Toisvus says, four lines down, Ella Tumtum, Halva Nashim Peturis, V'hai eimo ishehu. Memela ha'vipatrin lekehecha deloy leisei chulin la'azara. Since there is a possibility that a tumtum is a woman. And a woman is potter from bringing the korban. In fact, once she's potter, it's usher for her to bring an oil of suriyah, because it's bringing chulin la'azara. So you have a suffix here that perhaps you're bringing something that's not kadosh, not a korban, into the base of Migdash, which is an iser. Memela, when do we say according to the Rajbat at Suffolk Derisa Lchumer Midor Risa? That's only if you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. But here, if we say Suffolk Lchumra, it could be you're going to lose something, because it could be that this person is really a woman and you're bringing Chulin Azara on. Over there, even the Rajbat agrees that you would not bring a korban. And therefore, the Gemara's kasha is good. Mehecha teisi, that you should bring a korban, that I need a miyut. Here, you definitely would not bring, Tumta would not go oil regel, because he would not be having a korban. I let him go to be oil regel and not bring a korban. On that, the Rambam says that there's no mitzvah to be oil regel without a korban. If one is oil regel, it's only to bring a korban. So Mele the Gemara asks, what do you need a miyat for, since it's a suffix? And it's suffix chul lazara, we would never have a half a minute that the tumtum should bring a korban. So what do I need a pasuk in my? The Gemara answers, it's speaking about a tumtum who we know is a zacher, kisha beitzov beyov miba chutz. Continues the Gemara Mamar we learned before. Kol zechurcha, what's the ruby of kol rabbi sektanim? To be marbik tanim. Vatznan we learned in our Mishnah, chutz mecher shayt of a cotton, that a cotton is potter from Ria. So how could we be marbik cotton from kol zechurcha, omra abaya, loy kasha? Abaya says this is not a kasha. Kam bekot shigilachinach, kam bekot shaloy gilachinach. Our Mishnah that says that a cotton is potter, speaking about a cotton, a very young child who didn't reach the level where his parents have to be mechanachim, train him. However, when we say that kol zechurch is marbe cotton, it's speaking about a cotton who is igiel lechinuch. He reached the age where his parents have to train him, and the einachanami, he is chayiv in the mitzvah of Riyah. Ask the Gemara, cotton shigiel lechinuch, a cotton that had reached the age of being trained is chayiv in mitzvahs, but that's only derabbanan. That's only a din derabbanan, it's not a din deraisa. How could I say that the ribui of the Torah of kol is marbe something which is only a din derabbanan? The Gemara answers, Einachanami, you're right. Ukras, machta bi'alma. This is just a remez. The Rabbanu were seeking support from the words of the Torah. So they took the word kol zechurcha to be marba cotton, but Einachanami, even a cotton gilachinach, is only chayav mid Rabbanu. Ve'ela krola mayasa. If you're telling me that the kol to be marba cotton is only a din de Rabbanu, what in fact is the kol marba on a deraisa level? Look at Acherim, like we learned from the Acherim. The Sanya says the Masar Shashasir. We learned in a bright. Acherim Imrim. Acherim learned, they said that there are certain professions, three professions that are Potter and Ariya. And Rashi in Divrei Hamaskel, Hamamitzarf Nechoishis, at the end of the Rashi says, V'chol Elu Reichon Rav, Ein Yuchal Lalois Im Chavrei Reyem. All of the following three professions have a bad odor because of their professions, and they're not able to go up with the rest of Kol Yisrael. Who are these, which three professions are included? Hamekameitz, a scraper. As Rashi explains, someone who scrapes up dog's excrement with his hands and he can, to condition the hides. V'hametzarf nechoshes, as Rashi explains, someone who smelts copper ore in the place where the ore is dug from, the ground, v'habursi, and a tanner of hides. All these three, because of their stench, their odor, patur min ariya. The Meforshim explain that it's not as a covet of Klal Yisrael, but adarav, it's a covet of these three professions. Since people would stay away from them, would move away from them because of their odor, this would be a lack of covet for them, and therefore the Torah patur them min ariya. And how do we know this? Mishum Shanem, because it says in the Torah, Kol Zechurcha. So I learn out, Mishiyach Lalis and Kol Zechurcha, someone who's able to go up with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Yatzu Elu, this excludes these three professions. She'en Ruin Lalis and Kol Zechurcha. They are unable to go up with the rest of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael would stay away from them. They would be segregated. And therefore, because of their covet, the Torah patterned them from the mitzvah of Riyah. there's a machlokes rishonim whether these three people, these three professions, could in fact deodorize themselves and then be mechuyev or not. Some rishonim say that they would be able to, and others say that this stench is so ingrained in their skin that they physically would be unable ever to get rid of it, and therefore they are always potter from the mitzvah of riyah. Continues the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah. Nashim avadim she'en mishuchar urarin. Women and avadim that are not free are potter from riyah. Bishlam and nashim k'nam morin. Nashim are potter from riyah, as we learned before. Rashi says, because we had the word zachor lo'itzis ha'nashim. El avadim and all, how do we know that avadim are potter from mitzvah of riyah? Amar of an amar kara, it says in the pasuk, sholish pam bashani yirah kol zechurcha el p'nei adayin Hashem. Those last four words are what we're going to darshan from. El pnei adon Hashem, mi she'ein lo yalo adon echad. You have to come to your master Hashem, only someone who has only one master Hashem. Yatzezet, to exclude an eved, she'esh adon achar. He has another master, he has a human master, and therefore he's potter from the mitzvah. This eved kanani is potter from the mitzvah of riyah. Ask the Gemara, halom likro, what do I need a pasuk for? Michti, kol mitzvah she'esh ha'yevesbo, eved chayevbo. And kol mitzvah she'en ish ha'yevesbo, ein eved chayevbo. And eved kanani is chayev in all mitzvahs that a woman is chayev in, and he's potter from all the mitzvahs that a woman is potter from. How do I know? There's the Gemara, lo lo me'isha. As Rashi brings down the psukim, it says, by a woman, the cause of law, sefer krisis. And it says, by a shivcha, oichu pasha, loy nasan law. So I have law by an eved, I have law by an isha, and I make exer shava, law la me'isha, whatever mitzvah is a woman's chayvin, an eved is chayvin. Now, since a woman is potter from riyah, as we learned the pasuk zachor, lo haitzis hanashim, so an eved should also be potter. So what do I need? A special miut from el pnei o adon Hashem. Amra vina lo nitzrucha. We need that special miut. Elo lemisha chetzioi eved v'chetzioi ben chayrim. Someone who he had two masters. One of his masters freed him. So now he is an eved to one master. That's half of him, but half of him is free. So normally he's chayv in mitzvahs. But in this case, we will learn out from El Pnei Adon Hashem that since he has one additional master besides Hashem, therefore he's potter from the mitzvah of riyah. Deken nami, I'll prove to you that our Mishnah, when it spoke about avadim, it was speaking about a chatzi avadim, chatzi ben chayrin. Diktani, we learned nashim v'avadim she'en mishuchararin. Women and slaves were not free. My shein and mishukharan. What do you mean by the phrase that it's ain mishukharan? Ile mishein mishukharan klal. If you're going to say it's a total eved who's not free at all, listening avadim stama. So let the Mishnah say nashim vavadim. And avadim means he's not free at all. Why do you add the word shein mishukharan? Elolav. It must mean shein mishukharan legamri. He's not totally free. Umay ninu. And which kind of avadim are we speaking about? Misha ketze eved v'ketze ben chayrin. We're speaking, that's the case of our Mishnah that we're speaking. I would have thought that he's chayiv in real, like he's chayiv in all other mitzvahs. Kamash mulan, el panei o adayin Hashem, that since he has another master, therefore he's potter from mitzvah of Riyashma Amina. So we see this from the very words of our Mishnah itself, that our Mishnah is speaking about a chetzi yavid v'chetzi ben chayrin. Rashi points out that this miyut of chetzi yavid v'chetzi ben chayrin is only according to the Mishnah Rishina that we learned before on Daf Beis. That if, according to Beis Hillel, this chatzi ben chayrin works for his master one day, and he's free one day, then in fact he has another master, and he's potter from riyah. However, according to the Mishnah Achrayna, where Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai, that we force the master to free him, and he owes money to the master for the master's part in him, but he has to be freed. So even if he has not been freed yet, but since he is mechuyev to be free, he's considered as if he's totally free. He's considered as if he does not have another master. And Rashi says, in fact, that he would be chayev in the mitzvah of riyah. Continues the Gemara explaining our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, v'achi ger v'asuma v'achayla v'azokin, that a lame person, a blind person, a sick person, and an old person, they're all potter from riyah tana rabbanan. The Gemara now is going to find the source, how we know that these people are potter from the mitzvah of riyah. It says, regalim prat lebali kabin, that this excludes people who have a wooden foot, as we learned in yesterday's shir. Davar acher, another pshat, that regalim is not memayit bali kabin. as Rashi quotes from yesterday's daf, that Bali Kavan we will be memayed from pa'amim, because the word pa'amim means feet, as the Gemara brought various psukim in yesterday's shir. And therefore that is memayed someone who doesn't have regular feet. He has a wooden foot. What am I memayed from regolim? Davaracha, regolim prat l'chigir, someone who's lame, ulechol is someone who's sick, ulesuma, someone who's blind, ulezokin, an old person, ulesheen, yochel alas baragu, someone who's not able to go up with his feet. As Rashi explains, all of these people have feet, but they need other support besides their feet in order to get them to the base of Mikdash. They are potter from regolim. A person has to be able to go with his own 2 feet without any impediments or any other support besides his own 2 feet. Ask the Gemara, we've already mentioned a number of cases where a person is unable to go up on his own with his own 2 feet. So what is this final category, someone who's not able to go up on his own 2 feet? What's that including? This includes, as we turn to Davdal Ramad Beis, it includes mifanke, that someone who's a very delicate person. We know that on the Har Habayis we cannot walk with shoes, and this person is a very dainty and delicate person that is unable to walk barefoot, and therefore he is potter from the mitzvah of Riyah. How do we know that it is usur to walk on the Beis Hamikdash, on the Har Habayis, with shoes? Dichsiv ki savoyu le'rois panai, that the Navi Yeshaya complains, when you come to see, Hashem is saying, when you come to see my face, you come to see me on the regel. Who asked this from you to trample with your shoes on my chatzar? So from here we learn out that a person should not walk on the Har Habayis, which Klal Yisrael was doing. They were walking on the Har Habayis with their shoes. Taisus in the top Taisus Divrei Maskil Kisavayu brings Rashi, and he asks that L'chaira in Masechta Brachos we learn out that a person shouldn't walk with shoes on the Har Habayis from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the pasuk in Shmais Perek Gimel pasuk Hey Shal Ne'olecha Me'al Raglecha, that Hashem commanded Moshe to remove his shoes from that holy site. That's how we learn it out. So Taisus answers, Enechanami. The Iker is from that pasuk in Shmois. But the Gemara here brings the pasuk from Yeshaya because it wants to use it in connection with Oyla Regel, with the mitzvah of Ria. And the pasuk uses that word, Kisavoyu Lirois Panai. Leirois panai, it uses the word leirois, which is our whole sugi here of Re'iyah. That's why the Gemara brought the pasuk from Yeshaya, but the Iker limit ain't the chlamis from the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu in Shmois. Continues the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a brisa, ha'orel. Rashi learns that Orel is speaking about Yisrael Shemesai Echav Machmas Mila, that he was unable to have bris mila because his brothers died because of mila. And the Gemara is going to say that he's potter from Ria. Taisus in Divrei Maschil de Marba Orel, the third Taisus on the Amid, the third wide line, brings down that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with this. Rabbeinu Tam holds that that's a case of an anus, and a person whose brothers died machmas mila would not be potter from Ria. But Rabbeinu Tam learns that it's mefarish a doyig machmas hatzar avol meisoy echov machmas mila have onus. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's an onus. But what is the case here, which is potter from Ria? Someone who didn't have bris mila because he was worried that how much tzar it would cause him. So such a person who should have had a bris mila and didn't, that person is potter min Ria. We'll soon see the limit vehatame, and a tame person is also potter Ria. Rashi explains on the third wide line on top, Ein chayavim l'shloach oilos reyosei and al yidei shliach, that a tame, of course, cannot enter into the Har Habayis, cannot enter into the Beis HaMikdash. And, of course, he himself cannot come, but perhaps he should send his korbanos with a shliach, and therefore the Gemara says, no, that both an oral and a tame p'tur min Ria. Says the Gemara, Bishlam a tame, I have a limud d'chsiv, because the pasuk says, in Devorim Yud Beis, there are 2 psukim in Devorim Yud Beis, psukim Hey and Vav. Pasuk Hey ends off with Uvasa Shama, when it's telling us to be Oyla Regel, it says you should come there. And Pasuk Vav begins, Vahaveshem Shama, you should bring there all your karbonos. So from the juxtaposition, the smichas of the two psukim, we learn Uvasa Shama, Vahaveshem Shama. And what do we learn from this smichas? Kol she yeshne bebiya, yeshne bavoa. V'chol she ene bebiya, ene bavoa. That if you have a chiyuv to come up to be Oyla Regel, then you have a chiyuv to bring the korbanos. But if you are not allowed to come up to the, like a tummy who's not allowed to come up to the base of Migdash, he has no chiyuv of the oilas ria. He has no chiyuv to come, he has no chiyuv to bring the korban. So that's how I know that a tummy doesn't bring a korban even through a shliach. Elo oral minolon. But an oral, from where do I know that he is potter from ria? Hamani Rabbi Kiva, this is going according to Rabbi Kiva. The marbi l'oral kitami. Rabbi Kiva holds that an oral always has a din of a tami. The sign we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Kiva Oimer, it says concerning achilas kachim in Vayikra Chavbeis Pasuk Dalet, ish ish mizer arad v'hut sarua oizav bakadoshim lo yoichal, until he becomes asher yitar, until he becomes tor, he's not allowed to eat kachim. So why does it say ish ish twice? The rabbi says oral. Rabbi Kiva says that's marbe the oral. So oral has a din of tame. So just like it has a din of tame over there, who a din over here? Since a tame is pater from ria, an oral will be pater as well. Tana rabbanan tame pater min ria. A tame is pater min ria. The chsev uvaser shama veveshim shama. Like the Gemara learned before, kol she yeshu bebiya yeshu bavav. Kol she ena bebiya ena bavav. Since a tame cannot come to the base of Mikdash, therefore he's pater from bringing the korban as well. Ask the Turi Evan a very strong question. Why do we need this limud? Why don't we learn a pashut? Since the pasuk says, Yeroa calls a churcha, v'lo yiru panai reikam, so we should learn out that the chiyuv of bringing a korban is only on one who has a chiyuv to come to the Beis HaMikdash. When you come, don't come empty-handed. But if I'm not obligated to come. In fact, it's usher for me to come because I'm tamei. Memela, I have no chiyuv to send it through a shliach, the oilas ria either. So I don't need this special drasha of vaser shama, aveshim shama. We can learn it from the guf of the kra of the mitzvah of oilas ria. The mitzvah is only on someone who is able to come. If I'm not able to come, then I don't have to bring the korban either. Answers the Turi Evan, two terutz. The first terutz is that we know that a koyin tamei, that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that if everybody was Tameh, then the Kahanim, even if they're Tameh, are allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash to bring Korbanos on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So I would have thought that once the Kohen is doing the Avoid on behalf of Klal Yisrael, he already would be, he's there already. So he's obligated to bring an Oilas Ria, so the Torah tells you a special meal. No. Uvasa Sham, you know who's chayiv in Vavesim Shama? You know who's chayiv to bring a korban oilas ria? Someone who would come anyway because of the korban, but someone who's not allowed to come, and the only reason he's there is because he's a tumah hutra b'tzibur. He's a koyin doing the avoda in a state of tumah that he doesn't go into vasa shama. The balti doesn't go into vasa shama. Mele, there's no chayiv of Vavesim Shama. Teretz number two of the Turi Evan is, it's speaking about a case, I need this special limit for someone who was tor on the first day, and he didn't bring Darla Sariya. He was going to bring it on the second day. On the second day, he became Tommy. So I would have thought that since on the first day, when he was in the Beis HaMikdash B'Tahara, he had upon himself a chiyuv of bringing an Oilas Ria, so maybe he should have that chiyuv even on the second day. Kamash Malan, that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Uvasa Shama, Vaveshim Shama. At the time when you're going to bring the korban, you have to be able to come there. And on the second day, you weren't able to come there anymore because you already had become tamei. Memela, even though you were there the first day, but since you weren't there the second day, there's no chiyuv for you to bring the oilas ria. And that's why I need this special pasuk. Without the pasuk, I would have thought that perhaps he would be mechuyev in oilas ria since he was tor on the first day of yontif. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy Yomer, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma Bachs Meinu Patamin Ariya. A suma in one eye is potter from the mitzvah of riyah. Shenemar yira yeroa. The ksiv of the pasuk is yira. The way we read it, the kri is yeroa. Yira means that Klal Yisrael should see Hashem. Yeroa means that Klal Yisrael should be seen by Hashem. And therefore I make the following limit. Kederech shebol lirois. Just like when you are seen by Hashem. Yeroa, the kri. Who's seeing you? Hashem. So just like when Hashem sees you, kach bo liroi, so too, the ksiv of yireh, that which means you're going to see Hashem, is the same way. Ma bo liroi, just as when Hashem is coming to see you, the leirois, you are going to be seen by Hashem. How is Hashem doing a b'shtei einav, with his full capacity of seeing? Afle ro'oi, so too when Hashem is seen by Klal Yisrael, which is the ksiv of lirois, that the Klal Yisrael is seeing Hashem. How is Hashem being seen by Klal Yisrael b'shtayin? It has to be that the person who's seeing Hashem is with two eyes. If he only has one eye, he is potter from the mitzvah of re'iyah. Continues the Gemara, Rav Huna kimat alai kra, yira yira bachi. When he came to this limud of yira and yira, the ksiv and the kri, he cried, Amr, and he said, Eved, sherabim etzapel el roisai. An Eved, who his master was looking forward, was longing to see him. Yisrache mimenu, and yet now Hashem has distanced himself from that person, and that's a reason to cry. The pasuk that we had before, that when Klal Yisrael came up to the base of Migdash, Hashem said, who wants this from you? I don't want to see you. And the Turi Evan explains that why was this put specifically on the limit of Yira Yeroa, that when Hashem is in this state, that he doesn't want to see Klal Yisrael anymore. It's not only that he does not want to see Klal Yisrael, which would be Yeroa, that Klal Yisrael should be seen by Hashem, but he doesn't even want the Yira part. He doesn't even want Klal Yisrael to see him. And that is a source for crying. Continues the Gemara, Rav Huna came to the following Rav Huna came to the following pasuk, he cried, V'zavachti shalom v'chalti shalom, you should sacrifice shalom and eat it there in the base of Migdash. Eved, a servant, Sherabi mitzapel lechol al shulchanoi, who's longing that his servant should eat on the Rebbe's table, Yisrachik mimenu, and now he distances himself from the Eved Chsiv. Lomeli rovs of Chechem Yom Hashem. Hashem says in that pasuk from the Haftar of Chazoy Nishayo, Perik Aleph of Yishayo, what do I need your many sacrifices? I don't want you to be sitting by my table. And that's a source, again, for us to cry. Rab Lozer came out to like, Kra Bachi. When Rab Lozer came to the following Pasuk, he cried, V'lo Yochlu Echav Lanesoy, when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers by saying the words, Ani Yosef Ha'oid Avichai. His brothers were unable to answer him. They were shocked. They were astounded from in front of him because he had chastised them. He had given them Musr. And the Gemara learns, if this is how they reacted upon receiving this chastisement, this Musr from Yosef, that's how they reacted. How much more so when we will stand in judgment on the day of judgment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all the Mefarshim ask, where do we find that Yosef chastised his brothers? All he said was five words, Ani Yosef Ha'oid Avichoi. The Beis HaLevi has a beautiful pshat, Ala Torah. And he brings down the Medrash from Abba Kohen Bardala, who says the similar words to the Gemara here. If Yosef, who was the youngest of the brothers, if that's how they reacted, Allah is kama v'kama, when we're going to stand in front of Hashem, and the Medrash adds the words, Ba'asher hu sham, when the Rabbi Shalom will chastise a person the way he is there, and the Beis HaLevi wants to know, where do we see that Yosef chastised his brothers? He just said, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? And also, he wants to know, what's this lashon of the Medrash, Ba'asher hu sham? And the Beis HaLevi answers that a person will be taken to task by Hashem that he's a living contradiction. And that's what Yosef was saying to his brothers. Ani Yosef, ha'oid avicha, you've been worried so much about bringing Binyamin back to my father. And because you felt that he won't, that my father will not be able to survive without Binyamin. I'm Yosef. You're a contradiction. Where were your feelings 22 years ago? Ha'oid avichai, is my father still alive? And the other question the Beis Levi is asking, that Yosef had asked the brothers all along if their father was alive. Yosef knew that the father was alive. And yet he's asking, ha'oid avichai. So the Beis Levi says that's what he meant. That was the mussar that he was giving to his brothers. He was saying to them, you're a contradiction. Hashem is going to mon us. He's going to demand of us on the Yom HaDin. You're unable to learn, but yet your brain can fathom the intricacies of the stock exchange. But you have no time to learn. You don't have time, but yet you have time for other things. You're a contradiction. That's what I should have. You have no money for charity, but yet you have money for all your desires. You do have money. You are a living contradiction. That's what Yosef was saying to the brothers. You're worried about Binyamin. Where were you 22 years ago? Why weren't you worried about me? What effect that would have on my father? Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai. There's another pshat of Reb Chaim Shmulevich, that the greatest trauma that a person can go through is to realize he has been living a mistake. When Yosef said the words, Ani Yosef, the bubble burst. For 22 years they thought that their brother, as the Sipurna explains, was a rodev. He was trying to harm them, trying to say Lashon Hara to their father against them, trying to take away the future of Klal Yisrael, of Olam Haba, from them, to cast them aside, just as Yishmael was cast aside from Avram, and Asa was cast aside from Yitzchak compared to Yaakov. That's what they thought Yosef was trying to do with the other brothers, cast them aside and build Klal Yisrael only from Yosef. That's what they thought. They were wrong. Yosef was a total tzaddik. He was trying to improve them. He was not trying to harm them. So when he had dreams, I'm going to be a king. Oh, you want to be a king over us? And now Yosef says, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. When he said those two words, the mistake that they had lived for 22 years became apparent, and they were shocked. So too, on the Yom HaDin, when Hashem will show us all the mistakes that we've been living our whole lives based on, we will be totally astounded. The question one can ask is, according to the Beis HaLevi, it's very good, Ha'oid Avichai. Ha'oid Avichai is part of the chastisement, as we explained. But according to Reb Chaim Shmulevich, what do we need the words Ha'oid Avichai? We should just, Yosef should just have said, Ani Yosef. And that would have shocked them, that their whole thinking on Yosef for 22 years was a blatant mistake. Why do we need the words Ha'oid Avichai? So I thought that perhaps the answer to that question is that Ha'oid Avichai is explaining why they made the mistake for 22 years. Why didn't they, as the Mefarshim wonder, why didn't they realize when they were standing in front of Yosef, they went to Mitzrayim looking for Yosef? Why didn't all the strange things that Yosef did, he lined them up by their age? How did he know exactly how old they were? He kept asking about the father. Is your father alive? Why does he want to know so much why our father's alive? You know, hey, maybe it's Yosef. Maybe Yosef's standing in front of us. It never occurred to them. It never dawned on them. Why? Because if this was Yosef, then they were wrong. They didn't want to admit. They went down to Mitzrayim looking for an Eved. They weren't looking for a Melech, for a Sheni LeMelech, as Yosef turned out to be. Because that would have justified Yosef all these years. And they had a Negius. So Yosef said, Ani Yosef. And my dreams were not dreams of what I'm thinking about during the day. My dreams were Nevuah. And the proof is because here I am and all my dreams came true. I'm standing in front of you. So why didn't you realize that I was a tzaddik 22 years ago? Because you had a jealousy that didn't let you see the truth. Ha'oid avichai. You know why I was asking you about my father so much? Because it's my father. Ha'oid avichai. Not, is your father alive? I was so worried about my father because it was Avi, it was my father. And why didn't you pick up on that? Why didn't you say, hey, maybe this person is Yosef? If you're looking in Mitzrayim for Yosef, maybe the person standing in front of you is Yosef. And that would answer all the questions that you have in the strange hanhaga that Yosef had towards you. The answer is your negius of kinna didn't allow you to see that the person standing in front of you was Yosef. The same negius did not allow you to see 22 years ago that I was a tzaddik. So the words ha'oid avi chai are part of the Musar, even according to the pshat of Reb Chaim Shmulevitch. Continues the Gemara, Rav Lazar came out to like Rav. Rav Lazar, when he came to the following pasuk, Bach, he started to cry. What is the pasuk? Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Lomer higzas tani, why did you disturb me? Lahalo soisi, to bring me up. The background for this pasuk is that Shaul HaMelech, after Shmuel was nifter, he wanted to make sure, he wanted assurance from Hashem that he was going to win in a very difficult battle with the Plishtim, and Shmuel, he couldn't ask from Shmuel had been nifter. There was no message sent to him through a chalom or through the Urim V'tumim or through any other Nevi'im, and therefore he decided to do something, his only alternative, which was something wrong, that he went to a woman who was a Balas Oiv, and she was able, through black magic, just like there's Koichis Atoiv in the world, Nevuah and Nisim, there are Koichis Hara that Hashem gave equally on the other side, evil powers. And she, through the Ov, was able to resurrect Shmuel. When Shmuel came up, he says to Shaul, Lomir Zastani, why did you disturb Lahalisi to bring me up from the dead? And the Gemara says, Umah Shmuel Atzadik, how you miss your mother did. We see that Shmuel Atzadik was worried that he was going to get a din from Hashem, judgment from Hashem. Anu alachs kam v'kamas, so certainly we have to be worried. If Shmuel was worried about the Yom HaDin, certainly we have to be worried about the Yom HaDin. Shmuel, my he. So the Gemara asks, as Rashi explains, Minolon de Mishari, how do we know that he was frightened from the Yom HaDin? The Marshad is not like this Pshad, because as we just brought up, the Pasuk before, that was what we were trying to prove from the Pasuk before. When he came to that pasuk of Lama Hirgzastani, why'd you disturb me? You made me frightful from the Yom HaDin. That's the way the Marshal learns. The limit of how I know that Shmuel was afraid of the Yom HaDin is from the word Hirgzastani. You disturbed me. I'm nervous now. I'm frightened from the Yom HaDin. So according to the Marshal, what does Mahi mean? Mahi means, where do we, what exactly was it that was causing him to fear? What's the actual details of that fear? But the fact that he was afraid, that I know already from the pasuk before. Mahi, what exactly are the details of what he was afraid about and why he was afraid? Because it says in the pasuk, Vatomer Isha, this woman who was the Baalas Oiv said to El Shaul, Elohim, I saw God-like great a person, Ra'isi Oilam, I saw coming up. Now, he only, L'chayra, she only brought up Shmuel, and yet it says a plural lashon, Oilam Trei Mashma, that there were two people. So the Gemara says, yes, Chad Shmuel, she brought up Shmuel, but she also brought up somebody else. Ve'idach da'azu Shmuel, Shmuel went. Va'asi l'Moshe v'adeh, he brought Moshe with him. Amalei, he said to Moshe, Dilma chas v'shom l'dina matuina, and here we see that he was afraid, I'm being brought for a din, kumba doi, come together with me, the leka milsafta barais, there's nothing that you wrote in the Torah, the leikiyamti, that I didn't fulfill. Taisvis, the third bottom Taisvis, the remaskal, the leka says, not that he was taking Moshe as an aid, you should be a witness that I didn't do anything wrong, because Moshe didn't live at the same time, how should Moshe know if Shmuel did something wrong or not? He was trying to say, Kach v'kach darashti v'asisi maise boy v'edani shekach lomana tegamato. I did the following actions, and I want you to testify that everything I did was according to the Das Torah, that you, I paskin, and I darshan the psukim exactly as you did. I want you to testify that's true. There's nothing that I was over on from the Torah that you gave from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. So if Shmuel was so afraid of the Yom HaDin, and he had to get Moshe to testify for him, so how much more so should we be afraid of the Yom HaDin? Rav Ami came out to Laikro when he came to the following Pasuk, Bachi, he cried, Yitin ba'ofer piyu, that the Pasuk says in Echa, that we will have dirt in our mouths. Ula yesh tikva, maybe there is hope. If we suffer so much, maybe there's hope that this will be a kapora for us. Omar, he said, kuli haiva ulai. We have to have dirt in our mouth. And ula yesh tikva, maybe there will be hope. Only maybe, this was a source of crying. Rav Ami kimat like when he came to the following pasuk, bachi, bakshu tzedek, bakshu anava, search for righteousness and search for humbleness. Ulai, tisosru biyoyim af Hashem, maybe you'll be able to hide in the day of the anger of Hashem. Omar, when he came to this pasuk, he said, kuli haiv ulai, I'm doing everything good, and even with that, maybe I'll be able to hide from Hashem, and maybe I won't be able to hide from Hashem, a source of tears. Continues the Gemara, Rav Asi came out like Rowan, Rav Asi came to the fallen pasuk, but he cried, sinu ra, hate evil, ve'ev utoiv, and love good, v'itzigu b'shar mishpat, and establish in the gate justice, where the Dayanim, the Sanhedrin, used to meet in the gates of the city, ula yuchanan Hashem l'keitz v'akois, perhaps Hashem will grant favor. And again he cried, because kuli hai v'ulai, all this, and maybe Hashem will grant favor. How difficult it seems to be to receive favor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was the source of his crying over this pasuk.